This is Empowered Human Academy. Welcome home.
This is about love. This is about light. This is about the idea that you contain everything you will ever need.
And this life of yours, this is where you expand, you grow, and you remember who you are.
I'm Abe.
I'm Isaac.
In Empowered Human Academy, we join with humans of all kinds to feel the inspiration that can only come from empowered living.
The stories you hear today are unique, but the energy you hear today is yours too. So, with hearts wide open, let's begin.
Thank you for being here. Hello, empowered humans, and welcome back. We're really glad you're here. If you've been resonating with the energy and themes in these conversations, we'd like to invite you to join us in our new group coaching experience, Lightword Together. We gather on the 15th and last day of each month, exploring what it means to stay close to agency and joy in every moment to build the life of your dreams over time. For $75 per month, you'll gain immediate access to our library of past sessions as well as to our community Slack channel, where we'll swap inspiration, stories, and encouragement along the way. To sign up or for more info, head over to lightword.com/together. Now, on to today's episode.
Chloe Chauvin is a women's health coach who thoughtfully supports her clients to operate from self-love and confidence rather than from guilt and shame. With a background in sociology, Chloe brings an understanding of systems and advocates for a holistic wellness approach built to last. Chloe is a bright and multifaceted light in the realm of wellness, focusing on empowering her clients to author their own goals so they're rooted in what they want rather than in the harmful standards propagated by diet culture.
Throughout this conversation, we discuss behavioral change, vulnerability, pursuing health from a place of self-love rather than self-hate, and the shift from external validation to internal acceptance. We also explore the benefits of outsourcing the things that don't light you up so you can optimize your energy for what does.
Chloe is an inspiring example of what it means to stand in your magic and how living from a deep, true place of confidence invites others to do the same. We really enjoyed this conversation and are excited to share it with you. So let's get into it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Empowered Human Academy. Today we have our friend Chloe, and we're just so excited to dive into this conversation. I'm really excited to dive into, Chloe, your story and who you are, because you're super inspiring. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm honored. I'm excited. I can't wait to chat with you guys.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of hearing you and Abe kick it on Instagram Live a couple of times, and the energy that you two have between each other is wonderful. So thank you for sharing that with the world. To kick it off here, we begin with questions of identity, not who you are to other people, not who you are when introducing yourself, not necessarily your work, but there might be overlap. Who are you when you come home to yourself, when you don't have to be anything for anyone, and it's just you in a comfortable space of yourself? What words of identity do you choose there in that zone?
Yes. I love this question because for me, there is no way I could ever nail that down to one or two or maybe even three things. So yeah. For me, that word is multifaceted.
Hell yeah.
Like when I come home, you just don't really know what it's going to be. And I don't really always know either. And I think that for a while I was uncomfortable with that because it's like, but shouldn't I pick? Like, shouldn't I have to choose? Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I'm in such a good place of like, I stand in my multifacetedness every day. And maybe I want to put on loud music and twerk in the mirror. Maybe I want to read a book and take a bath. Like, you just don't really know what you're going to get. And I am just in a really good place with that.
That's fantastic. I not to be presumptuous, I'm married to somebody who I feel like might also self-describe the way. So I'm curious to see how this dynamic plays out during the conversation. But
yeah,
tell me what it felt like to relax into that after being in a place where it sounds like you were less comfortable with it. Like, what did it feel like to give yourself permission to be that way?
I think it maybe was a combination of putting myself in and around other people who were going to lift me up in that than feel confused by that. Mm-hmm. And so starting to be more in those spaces, I think gave me the confidence or the ability. And I recognize that my ability to be multifaceted in the way that I think I am is an incredible privilege and a huge, like, there are so many women in the world who aren't that just because it's not even safe. Like, you know, and so I, exactly. So I like recognize that even just my ability to have that. And I think it was a combination of being around the right people in the right spaces, but then also recognizing that I have that. And so I need to use that and I need to go with that instead of shy away from that.
Yeah.
And it's still a process. It's still like, sometimes I'm like, let me just try this. And if it doesn't work, then I'm not going to do it. But it's always a process. I just think that now it's more in front of mind. Like, this is part of your magic, is always being different and always changing and always growing. And so I have to use that, because then it, of course, allows other people to have permission to be that around me.
Yes, 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 yes. Does that feel, I don't want to say compulsory, but like, is a natural, is a natural output of you being your multifaceted self encouraging others to be that way also then? Or is it, is how, what am I trying to say here? Does it feel like a service you are rendering to society, or does it feel like a natural function of you being you to lift up others around you as you go? Does that make sense?
I think both. Yeah. Okay, cool. And I think both, like, it is my service to like society, and it's become such an important part of my business to allow the women that I work with to show up in however they can, however they want, however they feel. So it's like a two, it's like a combo. It's a two-way street of me just doing that gives them permission, but then also it's like, I encourage them, and that has flourished in such a beautiful thing that I'm like, I got to do more of that.
Totally, totally. I feel physically lit up right now at the, at hearing the story of somebody who's like, time is a, goes into things that light themselves up and also encourages the world around them to light up also. And to hear, to be hearing from you, somebody who's locked in that feedback loop, that's super exciting. More of that in the world, please.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're a coach, you're a certified wellness coach, and you, you know, help women through their own transformational journeys in health and life and everything. When did you kind of realize that you wanted to be a coach, and what was your, what's been your own kind of like journey in embodying this sense of like empowerment as to lead other people while simultaneously getting comfortable with yourself?
Yeah, great question. So my background before I was in health and fitness, now I'm a certified health coach, certified personal trainer. Before that, my bachelor's degree is actually in social work. So also a very much so a helping profession, and really where I learned the basis of behavior change, of psychology, of those things that have so much to do with your health and fitness that many coaches maybe just don't necessarily know about. So my journey kind of as a coach really started in my journey as an empowerer. And that was really what I wanted to do, was just be in that helping profession. And something that I believe very deeply is we never know someone's ceiling to growth and to change. We can never define that for another person. And so starting with that as my like home, as my place that I'm always going to sort of go back to, then I got into health and fitness because that was so beautiful and so important to me. But then also once I was in health and fitness, I saw that that wasn't there for so many coaches. And I don't ever, you know, talk poorly upon other coaches, but in, when we think about women and bodies and change and, you know, I'm in the weight loss industry, whether I want to be or not, and I'm in diet culture, whether I want to be or not. So it was like, I needed to kind of flip that, because when I first got into it, it was all about restriction and changing, and you're bad and you're not good enough and you're not doing enough. And so I was like, one, this just doesn't even feel good for me either. And two, like, nobody's actually getting results.
A couple sentences ago, you used the phrase, or used the expression, behavior change. And now we're talking about how, like, how that, you know, people try to accomplish that using unsustainable methods, ways that you don't ultimately get anything out of. What does healthy behavior change mean, like, from a coach's perspective?
For me, healthy behavior change looks like very tiny, small, you don't even know it's happening steps. And things that can get folded into things that you're already doing. And then that's how all of a sudden you walk through doors and you don't even realize it. And all of a sudden you're hitting goals and you're like, wow, this doesn't feel like I'm always trying to to fit into this mold. Like, yeah. this is my wellness and yeah. this is what it looks like for me in my life and my household. And that I think is how you actually change behavior, instead of having somebody come in and be like, well, here's what I do. Why don't you try it?
Can you give me a specific example, like no personal information, but like, can you give an example of what that process looked like for someone that you worked with?
Yeah. So, I mean, with a lot of things, I talk about food. And so like tiny habits, right? I didn't come up with this concept, but you're going to eat anyway. I know you're going to eat. So before every meal, drink a glass of water.
Okay.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
I know you're drinking coffee every morning. While you're drinking it, while you're making it, can you drink a glass of water? Like it sounds so basic. And some people are like, when they start working with me, they're like, is this it? Like, is this all we're going to do? Yeah, and I'm like, well, first just let's do it. And then we can add more, but I want you to do these things first, because often I see women wanting to start like letter X, Y, Z when we need to start at A, B, C. So that's, I guess, a like very specific, basic example that sounds like duh, but it's one that I use quite often.
You talked a little bit about not defining other people's ceilings, and I that resonated with me. So like, how do you, in your own life or your client's life, because I feel like as a coach, I mean, I'm always thinking about these as well, these kind of things as well. But for you, what does it look like to guide yourself or another person to even defining what their ceiling is, to like being able to shatter it, or identifying things that are so out of reach in some capacity based on our kind of history and what we've thought about ourselves? Like, how does that relationship work, and how do you guide people to a place of understanding their own ceilings and how to kind of identify what their ceiling is?
I think a lot of listening and a lot of really just asking the questions. I always say, I'm not necessarily here to tell you the answers. I'm just here to ask you the questions. And then by guiding people in that way, then they're like, wow, well, what I thought was my capacity to grow and change, turns out that's just my baseline. And what a beautiful thing that is when you can get people there. So really what I mean, and what that looks like is, when I first start to work with people, I like to start with some small wins, some quick wins. Let's get some results. And then, of course, as you guys know, that's where motivation comes from. That's where excitement comes from, is when you are able to like look back at your calendar and be like, I did this. I put this on my calendar and I showed up for myself. Often just allowing people to start to trust that they can show up and be there for themselves and keep a promise that they made for themselves in signing up to work with me, in creating some very general goals around body, around food, stuff like that.
Totally. This is a question that I've asked on other episodes, and I'm very curious about how different people think about it. What does a goal mean to you, or what is your relationship to the concept of a goal?
I think I have an ever-changing relationship to that concept.
Beautiful. Bring it.
Because I think that goals are necessary, but also, you know, there's two types of people. There's outcome-driven people and process-driven people.
Okay.
And that's one thing I like to sort of get to know about my clients is, what are you? Because if you are outcome driven, you don't really care as much about the process.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to spend my time focusing on that, but and vice versa. So personally, I'm process driven. Like, I love to learn and grow and change in that way. And I get lit up by refining it, making that better. And then the outcome, if it happens, it's like, cool. Oh, great. Okay. On to the next one.
I feel that.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very fine balance of having that awareness of yourself, because I don't want to just like throw goals upon goals upon goals upon people, because then I think that can have you end up feeling like overwhelmed or feeling like not enoughness.
Yeah.
And disconnected too. If that's not their inherent driver of kind of their process, then they're not going to go after it. Yeah. And if they're not goal oriented and you're placing that upon them, then they're just going to be disconnected to the whole excitement kind of about it, about what they're doing.
It feels like there might be a parallel here between the, like you said, for your clients, you're sometimes here to help them ask like you're here to ask questions rather than to give them answers. And that balance between having questions versus having answers feels like it might be related to being outcome versus process driven. Like if you're process driven, maybe the questions are more interesting way to go. And if you're outcome driven, maybe you're seeking more about answers. I don't want to put words in your mouth. How do you think about the questions versus the answers for your clients? And do you ever have to like help them evolve their understanding of those concepts in the first place?
Absolutely. And usually when I first start working with someone, I have a few more answers because of course that's what they're coming to me for. Sure, right. Sure. And like, I know that I'm good at what I do and I know that I can guide you to get to where you want to be. Mm-hmm. So first it is usually me giving some answers, more detailed guidance. And then once we have worked together, once you've maybe gotten to that like step one of where you want to be, then I start asking a few more questions. I'm asking questions along the whole way, mm-hmm. but it just, does that answer it? Like it gets a little deeper.
Sure. Sure. That totally makes sense.
I'm pivoting a little bit. What has your relationship been to your own confidence, and especially maybe being a coach and being in the weight loss kind of, you know, diet, you said diet culture. I don't view you as that, but like you work in a space that is dominated by that. What has been your own confidence with your journey, with your body, with your mind, with your profession as a coach, knowing that you are one, helping people, but also, I know that in our conversations, you know, we put our own selves to a high standard and stuff like that. So what's been your journey in your own confidence with your own confidence?
I feel like, again, this is kind of something that is ever changing, because maybe one day you feel confident in one aspect of your life, but lower in another, and then tomorrow it's flipped. And so I think for me, really, it was, I feel most confident when I am allowed to be simultaneously loving where I'm at right now, but also working on getting better, or that like sort of self-actualization thing. And so I think for a while I felt like it had to be one or the other. And again, it's really just what spaces I've been in throughout my life when I think about my own confidence. And as I have noticed that, and really where, of course, I've always had wonderful, incredible people in my life, but even just like day to day, you know, the things that you consume. So I guess for me, that's when my confidence is the highest, is when I can do both of those things. So that's the space that I try to create, is like, it's okay if you come to me. I don't set my clients objectives or goals for them. So if you come to me and you say you want to lose weight, I will help you get there, but I'm never going to tell you that you should lose weight.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that's my biggest thing about, of course, I'm in diet culture, like every day we all are, and working in that, but knowing if you want to lose weight, I want to help you, because I know that if I don't help you, someone else is, and it might not be the best approach. It might not be healthy for you. It might not be sustainable. And like, so you're going to get that information. I want to really support you for it to come from a place of love and a place of sustainability rather than from a place of, you know, deprivation, from self-hate, from those things. So I don't know if that necessarily answered the question about my journey, but I guess kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. No, I get that. Do your clients ask you ever to set goals for them? Like, is it something you have to help them learn, like to figure out what they actually want? Or do people uniformly come through the door already having like a sense of self-direction and the kind of autodidactic path setting? Is that something they always have unlocked?
I think that when people first come to me, the overarching thing is I want to feel better.
Okay. Interesting.
And so then it's me asking the questions of, what do you think that would look like for you?
Yeah.
Usually that then stems into, I want to lose weight because I think that that will make me feel better. And while in many ways it might, it probably will, depending on you and your body. But then we talk about things such as energy, you know, relationships, such as relationship with food, eating. So that's usually where it starts. And then I also hear like all the time, I feel like I should be able to do this. I feel like I don't know why I can't get this, because I'm so great at everything else in my life. My career is awesome. Even most times, like my family is great. You know, I did the things, I went to school, I got the degrees, but I just don't know why I can't get this and this being my health, my fitness, my weight, my body, mm-hmm. working out, nutrition. Like, I can't figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm struck by the leading question of, or the leading statement of, I just want to feel better. And a couple of years ago, I came across the idea in a book I read that said that everything we do is because we think that we'll feel better after we do it.
Yeah.
And that was complicated as shit for me because I grew up having a mixed relationship with, like, it's okay for me to prioritize feeling good. Tell me your thoughts on that whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody is terrified of actually feeling good. Mm. But then that's all they want. But then when you get close to maybe feeling like that, it's mm-hmm. like guilt and it's fear of what other people are going to think. Mm. And then it's also kind of like reaching to the next thing and mm-hmm. never being really content with where you are mm-hmm. now. So I don't know. I think it's very complicated because what I do know though, is people know when they feel bad or when they don't yeah. feel good and they're in yep. pain mm-hmm. or they're really have low self-esteem, a lot of negative self-talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, something that I say too is if you can't reach for the highest thought, just reach for a higher one mm-hmm. than where you are right now. Mm-hmm. If body love, self-love feels so far away, mm-hmm. let's just start with not hate.
Yeah. Yeah. This sounds exactly like the take tiny steps concept yes. that introduced earlier. Yeah.
Well, yes. and it's interesting because like the work that all three of us do day in, day out, like a lot of it is grounded in the things that we like and we enjoy, which is such a privilege and such an honor to be able to do that. And also in things in our personal life, like even what we do and how we do it are like super important and super intrinsically tied to this, like, what are you creating for yourself, right? Like you are, every thought and everything that you're doing is leading you towards your future self. And like you said, I'm just so fascinated with this whole concept of tiny steps, a sustainable movement forward. Because all we see are these like big highlight reels on Instagram or whatever it is. We see these big things, but we don't glamorize the sex. No, we don't like make it sexy. Sexify. We don't make it sexy to drink water before, like yes. you were saying, right before a meal, right? But those are those like micro changes that like will lead you to who you want to be. What are your thoughts on like when people come to you and say like, I have it all figured out, but I can't get this. What's your reaction? I mean, given that you've heard a lot of that, like how...
Ooh, I don't want to tweak the question. Yeah, what's your reaction internally? Like, what are you thinking? And then also, what do you say? Are those the same thing or not?
Well, let me start with this. I always think and say, why should you? We don't expect you... Like, health and fitness is such an interesting thing because it is something that we feel like we should just know. Mm. We don't feel like that about anything else. Mm. You don't feel like you should just... I can't figure out, why can't I fix my car? I feel like I should be able to figure this out. What? We don't feel like that about anything except for health and fitness. And that mm-hmm. is exactly what diet culture wants. Because then when you're constantly in that cycle of, I should figure this out, you think the next thing, the next fad, the next diet is going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, first of all, I'm like, I tell people, and I think this too, you know, I went to school for this. Like I got certified in this. That's how I know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and so the fact that you don't, there should be no shame around that. You should feel not inadequate because of that. And that's, you know, like you said, Abe, about that highlight reel is we think that all these people have figured it out on their own when chances are they probably didn't. They probably got support. But that's, I guess, really what I think about that is that makes no sense because why should you? No one taught you about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
In today, maybe your parents taught you some things, but maybe that was different then, or they didn't know or have the ability or the privilege to know about these things either.
Well, and we're fortunate in that, like I'm fortunate in that, you know, I had a friend who was a registered dietitian who I called and was like, I don't know much about nutrition. I don't know much about what my body needs in order to be healthy because clearly my body is not healthy right now, 4 years ago. And I've had to learn and I continue to learn. Like literally 4 years later, I still talk to her every day and I'm like, cool, what am I learning? Also because it's not that I don't want to dive into because I've learned so much and it has become a norm now, but like she's also learning a lot more because she's in the field, she's doing research, she's doing all these things. So it's like, Yeah, it's really interesting what you said about like we shouldn't know, but it's an invitation to get to know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Or even just to get support to know.
Yeah. I'm curious about how you yourself, circling back to yourself from the coaching work, although overlap again, as with everything, I'm curious about how you have changed your surroundings in whatever way, social, physical, whatever, in order to encourage the kinds of things that you want to encourage in yourself. You alluded to this earlier, that those are like, you've had to change some things in order to like give yourself permission by environment to be all your multifaceted self. What have those changes looked like over time? What have you done? What has that process felt like?
Good question. And it maybe was one of those things that I was walking through that I didn't know until I was on the other side.
That's totally a thing.
And as much as I would like to be like, yes, I was so intentional about it, I don't know if I was.
That's okay.
And
yeah.
One big thing though, is for me, what happened is when I got into health and fitness, then I started working in a gym setting and several gym settings. And while that time, I'm so appreciative of that, and I still have some very dear friends from that, I really think that that was actually in some ways for my own body and mental health detrimental, because it was constantly under the microscope of, you're a trainer, you're a coach, held to this standard of perfection that is wildly unrealistic. So it was almost like I had to leave that and create my own universe, coaching health sphere, where I could not be that level of perfection. So I think that was a big one for me, was like leaving the gym. And every time I was there, you know, every time I would go and work out, having people watch me, having people ask questions,
totally,
like that was just a lot of pressure that I think led to, in the opposite direction of me, being too strict and too focused and too like hard on myself for not feeling perfect in that way.
Yeah. This feels like an important distinction. Like you were doing work that you wanted to be moving towards. It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the specific venue in which you were doing that work wasn't conducive to you being your best self. Is that right?
Absolutely. Huh. Yeah.
So what, I mean, was it just like, I can't take this anymore, it's time to reinvent something? What prompted you to, like, what brought up to the level of your awareness the fact that it's time to do something different?
Ooh, good question. So when I started my business, I was still working a full-time job and a part-time job. And then I started the business and worked all three of those alongside each other for almost 9 months before I finally quit my full-time job to do my business. So that was the very unglamorous side of what I did on nights and weekends.
Yeah.
And I think so it was like something that I knew that I wanted to do, because I was just unfortunately seeing all these people, first of all, come to try to take care of themselves from a place of hate.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So that was part one. They're coming to this because they feel like they hate themselves. And then they're constantly comparing themselves to everybody that they're next to, everybody that's around.
Yeah.
And then trying to do that all alone, trying to do it on an island, but not because they wanted to, because they were too ashamed or scared to reach out for help. So then it's like they would come and I would see them and they would go hard for a month and then I wouldn't see them again for 6 months, or they would quit altogether. And it was just like, there's got to be a better way to do this. Like, there has to be. And so then I started, I was like, let me just try this and just like dip my toe. Let me launch this, see if I can get anybody.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of grew and grew. And I was like, like, I don't necessarily know exactly what this is going to evolve into, but at least this space is getting like lasting change amongst people.
Yeah.
Why was it important to you to kind of change that narrative?
I think it was important to me to change that narrative because, first of all, at the time, I needed that narrative to be changed. And so I don't even know if I knew that at the time, but it was like, I needed it to be changed. So let me just bring somebody along with me and like, see, I guess I've always been aware of whatever you feel like you're going through or feel like you struggle with, there's definitely somebody else out there that feels the same. And I kind of took that and clearly ran with it.
Yeah. I've been playing lately with the idea of like, of treating my work as kind of a bet. Like I bet I can do this and something good will come out of it. I don't know necessarily specifically what it'll be, but I bet something like this can work if we follow it and see what happens next. Does it feel a little bit like that? I'm projecting here.
No, absolutely. You're projecting very correctly. It's very much so been like, I don't know what this is going to evolve into, but I know that there's a need for this. And it's part of me hoping to do some good in the world and spread that. And if it looks completely different in a year, cool. Because again, I'm multifaceted, so it very well might.
Oh, that's awesome. Totally. I love that.
Totally.
Okay, so rewinding 90 seconds, I felt like I got physically hit in the chest when you said that people are coming to the gym and working on this, on something that externally looks like positive self-change from a place of self-hatred. I mean, it's astonishing and it's not astonishing at all. If you are looking around at, you know, the themes in mainstream society, but how, I don't know, like when you observe someone in that space and with respect for the fact that I think people have to make their own change over time and you can't force someone to think a certain way at all. What do you do when you're, I'm not going to say up against, but when you're suddenly in proximity with someone who wants to feel better and they're taking the self-hate route? What do you do when you're right up and close and personal with somebody who's in that space?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly complicated because on the one hand, there has to be a trigger for someone to start taking care of themselves. And there and often that is, you feel like you're kind of at that low, at that rock bottom, at that self-hate where you cannot go any further into that. And so I don't want to say that that's an overarching thing that should never be that trigger, because sometimes that's what has to happen for somebody to feel that readiness to change.
That's what happened to me. Same thing.
Yeah.
I hit rock bottom and I said, I cannot do this anymore. Everything is kind of falling apart and I feel like I'm falling and I need to get back up.
Yeah. So it's that, I guess, is part of why for me, I like to recognize that and then quickly work on changing that narrative. So right from the jump, when we are working out, whatever, I'm big on affirmations and I'm big on self-talk. And so for me, right from the jump, it's how can we reach for that higher thought? How can we just appreciate that you showed up today?
Yeah.
And that you're here and you're moving, you got your steps in today, whatever. So I guess for me, it's a balance of, I don't want to have like toxic positivity and tell you that you should just feel better, just feel better about yourself. That is not my mission at all, but it's like really creating space for both to coexist and starting to show people that it's okay to have a different narrative in your mind.
Yeah.
It's an invitation. Cause a lot of people have been grounded in the belief, in this stuck container of a belief that they need to feel like shit. Like Isaac, you were talking about like you giving yourself the permission to feel better because you had a kind of a fraught relationship with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even it felt dirty almost to speak out loud. Like it's important for me to feel good. Like I had to invent. I don't know. I had to build a whole new relationship with just the concept of prioritizing feeling good. That was a really weird, that's still kind of a weird process looking back on it. How do you help people become okay with that sort of thing?
I think it's very challenging, first of all.
Sure.
Like that's not one of those things that I can wave my magic wand on.
Yeah.
But it is sort of a big thing about who you're surrounding yourself with, because if everybody that you're around and if you can hopefully influence them to let them know that, like, you know, sort of, we all do better when we all do better. We all feel better when we all feel better. So reducing some of that guilt around that is just a practice of knowing, like, and showing that I'm at my best for you and with you when I take care of myself and when I feel better. And whether that's your partner or your kids or your coworkers or whoever you need to show up in the world for. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen easily, but it just can slowly start to happen if you can make that impact.
Has that been a journey for you and your own personal narrative and your personal life? Like the accepting that you want to feel good, or has that been kind of intrinsically a part of you for a long time?
No, I think that's been a big thing for me is I have always sort of been in the very much like hustle culture, grind culture, work very hard. I was raised by very hard workers. Mm-hmm. And so then with that, it's like, oh, you're taking a break. Mm-hmm. Oh, things must be all going very well for you. And again, it's not anybody's fault. You don't know what you don't know. But for me, recognizing that I will show up to people until my battery is at 0%, but totally. I don't want to be at 0%, like ever. And I don't want anybody in my life to feel like that either because of me or with me. So it was very much a journey for me of just recognizing that, or just not glamorizing being exhausted and being, I still work on that a lot and being like, oh, I work 7 days a week. I still work on that. Like that isn't glamorous. And maybe there's seasons where that is just what has to happen. But if that's a constant, then I think that some other things should be addressed.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I'm reminded immediately of your self-description as multifaceted. Like some days you might feel or need to work a ton and some days not so much. And feeling out that balance as you go sounds important.
Yep. And that's part of the reason too why I love, like, I'm the boss. So.
Cheers. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah.
And so there's so much that's, you know, not always easy, but then in some ways it can be a beautiful thing to ask yourself if today needs to be a day off.
Absolutely. I'm curious about, it sounds like you work primarily or only with women. Is that right?
Yes. Women or just anybody who identifies as
sure. Sure. Women identifying. Yeah, totally. Why, why is that? Why is that a part of your business?
Well, okay. I'm laughing because if I'm being very brutally honest here, I started only working with women because in my experience, the men that I was working with in person or virtually either wouldn't listen to me or eventually wanted to date me.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
And
I can see why one might stay away from that.
Yeah. And so that was really was just like, I don't really like this. It was like, I don't like this anymore. And then it became also knowing that like a lot of my clients having that super safe space was just so comforting. And I was like, well, again, if I feel comforted by this, maybe somebody else does too. So that's my very brutally honest why.
Thank you for the why. Backing out and looking at this abstractly, can we call this like, I don't know, like what's the theme here? Is it just like designing your work the way you want to work? Is it kind of what we've been talking about like tuning the people that you're hanging around so that you get to do the things that you care about? What's the, like, if we're going to put a label on this chapter of the book of you evolving your business, what's the label on this chapter?
I think it is standing in my magic.
Ooh. Oh, can we talk for another hour about that, please?
Gladly. Yeah, I think it's just standing in my magic and being like, in certain parts of how I coach, I'm really good at that. And I don't need to act like I'm not good at that. And then there's other parts where like, I want support with, so I get help with, I ask questions about. Yeah. And so it's that, it's like being okay with like, this is what I do best. And so I'm going to do this 150%.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. For people who are listening and not watching, my eyebrows shot up and haven't gone down yet when she said standing in my magic. That's compelling as hell. Tell me how you've done that in other parts of your life, if you don't mind. I'm so curious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like for me, it just comes down to like, I can connect with anybody. I can find reasons why anybody is just incredible and recognize their magic and be like, yes, do that. So even with my clients, like if they love certain things, then we do that. If they, you know, if they thrive in certain types of workouts, then we do that. And so it's really just like for me, for my life, I think it's just hopefully bringing out the best in people by allowing them to be all sides of themselves.
Totally. Totally.
I love that.
I'm reminded of, I don't know, something that like we had to get over a little bit. Like it's okay to optimize for the thing that you're made for, and you don't have to be good at everything. You don't have to like be at least average on all the things that a person might need to do. It's okay to aim for the thing that lights you up specifically. Do you, what are your thoughts on that sort of thing? Is that the same? Is that different?
I think it's very the same. And the first thing that comes to my mind is that's why I love that my clients outsource their health and their fitness to me.
Oh, cool.
Because it's like what we talked about. It's maybe not the thing that lights them up,
yeah.
but they know that they feel better. And so like programming workouts and researching that isn't their thing. So then they outsource it. So it's like, right. And so it's like, that's my magic. So I guess, does that answer it? It's just like, that's why it's so important to get support, because you can't do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
No one can.
Mm-hmm.
A woman comes up to you, say someone or a client or whoever it is. And they say, Chloe, I really don't like myself right now. And I want to get better. You talked a bit about affirmations, but has there been a moment in your career where it was just like, wow, this is a really moving moment because a light bulb went on in their brain and they're like, wow, no, I am amazing or I am beautiful. Like, or were there moments that you thought that for yourself, either for yourself or a client experience? And can you kind of walk us through that moment?
Ooh, that's so good. I feel like for me personally, and I do journaling every morning, I do affirmations every morning. And one that really was kind of like a turning point was I remember writing, I am is usually the beginning of a lot of them. But when I wrote, I am proud of myself, was just like such a shift from external validation to internal, like, I don't really care what anyone thinks or if they're proud of me, because I'm proud of me. And that was deeper than business. That was in my relationships and in things that I was doing, changes I was making, because it was like, I'm proud of me for going through that, for having hard conversations, for setting boundaries, for whatever. But that shift for me was very profound. And then I think for clients, it's one of the affirmations that I think is a big turning point. It's just the one, like, I like myself. It's not, I love myself. It's really just, I like me today.
Yeah.
I'm sitting with that because that's for so long, like, we are oftentimes our own worst enemy internally. And we've been fed, these lies of, you know, you're not enough, or, you know, you're not cool enough, you're not X enough, whatever it is. And to have clients and, you know, you say you're proud of yourself. And even I'm thinking about moments that we are just like, kind of basking in our own goodness and our own
self-appreciation.
Yeah, it's just, that's the type of time I want to spend. Like, I don't want to spend time fucking, you know, beating myself up anymore, you know, because it's just, it's not worth it, you know, after you can feel the beauty and the kind of power that comes with, like, wow, I like myself today. Like you said, it doesn't need to be love. Like, you know.
And just today. It doesn't even have to be like, I'm holding myself to this forever. It's literally today.
So if you're listening, try saying that to yourself or try meditating on that. Just finding things that you like about yourself and just seeing how that feels instead of this constant, what might be an internal battle of, you know, criticizing yourself all the time or making yourself, you know, feel bad if you didn't accomplish something. Just breathe and allow yourself to just enjoy yourself right now. Thanks for that, Chloe.
A truism that I am curious about, I'm curious about your thoughts about it. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Agree, disagree, discuss.
Maybe. I feel like, I think that initially I didn't want to say yes because it felt constricting.
Oh, totally.
Like, who's going to hold me to that? Like, what if I don't want to do that? Like, I do that, but that maybe that's the youngest child in me coming out. I don't know. I think though that it does, specifically when you think about taking care of yourself and your health and your fitness and your wellness, it absolutely leaks into other areas of your life.
Leaks. That's an interesting word choice. Tell me about that.
Because I think it's slow.
Okay.
And I think that it's not always on purpose, but it happens nonetheless. And next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, my water bottle's empty. It leaked everywhere. Cause you're like, I feel so good and strong and energetic. And it leaked into my life. It leaked into everything.
Oh, I love taking this and treating it as a positive thing, like leaking good habits into the rest of your life. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give me an example? This is exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, okay, so say that you are, you know, you work from home now and you work at your desk for 8 hours a day and you have meetings, and now you know that your lunch break, part of it is going to be a walk outside. Mm-hmm. So then what leaks into that? Okay, you don't necessarily need an energy drink at 3 p.m. anymore because you have a higher level of energy. So then you're not jittery, then you're more focused. So your work is more productive. You're able to focus on deep work for 30 minutes versus it was only 10. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're spending less time on social media because you're spending that time working out. You're in a group of positive, like-minded people. Yeah, and so then you bring that energy to your friend group, or you bring that energy to dinner later. And I think those are just like very top of mind examples.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. I am enthralled by this concept of having like accidental side effects that are positive, by the way. Like it's not pollution. You're not accidentally dragging yourself down. I feel like, for me anyway, the language of like accidental side effects, which is something that I added here, but to use the language of leaking, like my mind immediately snaps to a negative place. Like
a drug commercial. These are the side effects.
Sure. Or like, this is sort of a related metaphor, but like death by a thousand paper cuts, like the things that happen accidentally, I feel like I automatically think of them as being negative, but I don't know, in the same way that we talk about habit building and making sure that our automatic subconscious processes are serving us, this feels really important to me.
And it goes back down to the process that you're talking about. Like if you're very process oriented, then the process will then beget better or worse. And like Nate, a couple episodes, he was talking about if you are on autopilot, right? Make sure that you are intentional about the autopilot that you're setting for yourself.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
Because then you could be at 39,000 feet, not knowing where the hell you're going, or you can know exactly where you're going. And it's easier that way. That's what I think of, because then you're going to be able to then read a book while you're flying the plane kind of thing. You know, that's a positive side effect versus like, oh my God, where are we going? I don't know. We like talking in metaphors, but.
Yeah, I got a couple airplane metaphors, so keep them coming.
I love it.
Fantastic. Okay. Wow. That's really exciting. Positive leaking. That's a terrible book title, but let's write a book about it.
Don't title this episode that, okay?
I'm positive leaking. Right, okay, now. Cool.
We'll find
a different title. Weird. Okay. Backing up, because this is something that I wanted to ask at the very beginning of the episode. You are a deeply multifaceted person. Tell me about two or more facets of yourself that I would be surprised to find in the same person. Surprised and delighted.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know if anybody is surprised that I bring to the table.
Let me retract that part of the question, because asking you to describe yourself in a way that makes me react a certain way is very self-serving, and I take that back. So tell me about two facets of yourself that delight you.
Two facets of myself that delight me. I love to try new recipes, and I know that's very in line with me, but it's not recipes like zucchini noodles. It's recipes like cake.
Cool.
And bread and things that are in that category.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. So that's really important to me. And something else, I like to binge watch trashy TV.
Wonderful.
I love it.
Cheers. Bling Empire. Netflix.
Hey, I love that one. I already finished that one. Please. <love it.
laughs> Tell me about a way in which you are expanding right now. Like where's the evolving edge of who Chloe is? Tell me about a way that you're developing right now.
Oh my God. I am developing in vulnerability. In like personal life stuff. Yeah. Okay. I just am really kind of expanding what that looks like to me and how I can become more comfortable with that just in my own sharing and my own like showing up for personal relationships.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I didn't intend for us to segue into a bit where we ask you a bunch of like sort of unrelated questions in a row, but the timing is good. So let's launch into these two questions here. This is how we close these conversations. And by the way, thank you so much for the work that you are doing in yourself and with the people around you. I am really encouraged and inspired by hearing how you've like develop this relationship to your own multifacetedness mm-hmm. in a way that encourages others, which encourages yourself, and the kind of the circular make it all betterness is very inspiring.
And just before we end, for those of you who are listening, check her out on Instagram and Facebook. What I love about your page and just the work that you're doing is you're so relatable. Like you're just, hey, you're saying, hey, this doesn't need to be super hard. This doesn't need to be super hateful or restricting. It can be fun and it can be you. It can be whatever you want it to be. And you're changing the narrative of diet culture, and it's really cool and productive. So, and like also you dance to Mariah Carey and all these different things. Like that's, you're so multifaceted, and that's what I love and aspire to be more like. More multifaceted because I'm so multifaceted.
You are. That's why we get along.
I know. I love it.
More of that, please. Penultimate question. Tell me what an empowered Chloe feels like and looks like.
I think an empowered Chloe feels strong in her voice. Mm. She feels no guilt about standing in her magic. And she also trusts that the best is yet to come.
Final question. What do you know for sure?
I know for sure that nothing is for sure.
Ooh.
And later is a lie, and you deserve to feel good right now. There are no promises. Nothing's for sure. So like, let's do it. Whatever it is, we got to do it.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this with us and with everyone that you are around, and for bringing yourself to a place where you know these things in the first place. I'm really excited that you are in the world. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Chloe. Y'all go check Chloe out online. All you women out there who want an amazing coach, go check out Chloe. And yeah, Chloe, we love your magic, and thank you for sharing it. And thank you for inspiring everyone to own and live in their magic.
Yeah.
It's been an honor.
Yeah. All those things right back at you guys. You know I love you.
Love you, sir.
Bye.
Y'all, the whole point of everything is to open up ourselves in all the fullness we are made for, and then to create with everything that is real and true and bright. That's the work of a life. That's what we're working on. And you're here because you feel that for yourself, too. And we believe in you completely.
Thanks for joining us this round. And hey, for every conversation in this series, including this one, we've assembled a downloadable set of notes, table questions, a journal prompt, and some action steps that you can use to bring the energy and the lessons of this conversation home to your own life. Head to our podcast website, empoweredhumanacademy.com.
Hey, thank you for being here. Now, get out there and do something that feels exactly like you. We will do the same.
And for us, that includes bringing you the next conversation. We cannot wait. Have an awesome, awesome day.